Grew up in South Florida, but I sounded like I was from Maine or some other country. I don't know. It was strange. It was not a cool accent. It wasn't like a Southern accent. It wasn't like a British accent or Irish accent or Scottish accent. No, I sounded like Elmer Fudd's long-lost cousin. All right, so people had a hard time understanding me. They go, "What's your name?" "My name is Don Bramall." "Well, how do you spell that?" "D-O-N-N-B-R-A-M-M-E-R." "Is your mom around?" "I'm going to go in the car. I'll take a ride. Go one with the rabbits." Now, according to Matthew, it seems that this is Jesus and the disciples' first time in Jerusalem. You might remember the disciples talk about how glorious the temple is. "Oh, Master, look at the temple. Look at these stones. Look how big it is. Look at this. Look at that." They sounded like a bunch of tourists. But they're out-of-town tourists with an accent, because Galileans spoke a different form of Aramaic. They spoke a Syrian form of Aramaic. But Jews in Jerusalem spoke a Palestinian form of Aramaic. And so it would be like, so we could imagine, because I don't remember, even though I lived back that long ago, but imagine like the Galileans are like Scotsmen, okay? And they're visiting in Jerusalem, so that when Peter spoke, it sounded like, "Blimey, lassie, you cannot know even know what you're taking about." People are like, See, they recognized Peter as a follower of Jesus, not because what he said, but because of the way he said it. It was the accent that identified him. And the way we speak identifies us. It says a great deal about our Christian character or our lack of it. Do we sing praises to God on Sunday and then cuss like a drunken sailor the rest of the week? Do we tear people down or do we build them up? Do we speak words of condemnation or words of affirmation? Years ago, John Maxwell was pastoring the Skyline Wesleyan Church in San Diego. And he was asked, "Are you praying that your people will get the gift of tongues?" And he said, "No. I am praying that they learn to control the one they have now." See, the story of Peter's denial reminds us that it's not about if we fail, it's about when we fail. We all fail. We've all denied. We've all betrayed. We've all deserted. Instead of standing in faith, we've all hidden in fear. We've all been distracted by the storms of life, taken our eyes off of Jesus. But the story of Peter reminds us that our failure is never final. When Peter tried to walk on the water and became distracted and became fearful, he knew enough to cry out to Jesus. And Jesus rescued him. In Luke's version of the Last Supper, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you." But the "you" there is you all. It's plural when it's written there. See, your English, it doesn't show that, but in Greek, it's the plural. Satan has demanded to have you all of you disciples. Satan has demanded to have you all, that he might sift you all like wheat. And then it goes on. Jesus continues, "But I have prayed for you," and now that "you" is singular. So it would be like, "But I have prayed for you, Peter, I have prayed for you, that your faith will not fail. And when you, Peter, have turned again, strengthen your brothers." See, Jesus knew that Peter's failure would not be final. He knew that it would not be the last word, that it would not be the last act. Remember what Peter does after the denial? He hears the cock crow. He remembers the words of Jesus. And then what does he do? He goes out and he weeps. He weeps bitterly. He laments, which leads to confession, which leads to repentance, which leads to redemption. Peter believed in and trusted in God's grace. And as we know from reading the rest of the New Testament, Peter's speech may have been with a Galilean accent, but his life was with an accent on God's grace. In John's gospel, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And afterwards, Jesus asked the disciples, "Do you know what it is I have done to you?" Jesus has done something to each of us. He has loved us. He has forgiven us. He has given us grace. He has given us a new commandment to love one another. In other words, Jesus has changed us forever. It's the Kool-Aid talk. It's the Kool-Aid talk. We carry it with us wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say. We are marked. We may speak with a Galilean accent, but we live our lives with an accent of grace. And because of that, others know who we are and who we follow and who we trust. Not ourselves or our goodness, but in the love and grace of God given to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's prepare ourselves for communion by singing "Tis Midnight" in an Olive's Brow. It's on the back of your bulletin.